This is the Good Hope Through Grace broadcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. We're currently doing a study through the book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 8. And our focus tonight is going to be on verses 1 through verse 4. Let me go ahead and read our text for this evening. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this evening that we have the honor and the privilege of being on the radio. We're thankful for those sponsors at the Elizabeth Baptist Church that give of their means so that we can be on. And Father, we pray that as we preach this evening, that perhaps someone will be touched by the message and be brought to a saving knowledge of You. We submit this broadcast to Your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to title this verses 1 through 4 of Romans 8. We're going to title this message, Free from the Law. Free from the Law. There used to be an old song we sung years ago at the church, and it was titled Once for All. And here's some of the words of that old song. It's really based off this section of Romans 8, 1 through 4. It says, Free from the Law, O happy condition, Jesus hath bled and there's remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Verse 2, now we are free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear His sweet call. Come and He saves us once for all. So that gives you the idea of this text. Free from the law. And when we're talking about being free from the law, we're talking about the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. We've spoken of these many times in the book of Romans. When we're talking about being free from the law, we're not talking about now that we're saved, we don't seek to keep the Ten Commandments. We do. We seek to obey His commands. Jesus said in John 15, if you love me, then we are to keep His commandments. We are to obey His commandments, and we do that because that we indeed love the Lord. That's John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. There should be a desire to do that. And we don't keep the commandments to get saved. We keep the commandments because we love the Lord and because we are saved. So what does this idea of being free from the law mean? And it's based off our verse here in the book of Romans chapter 8. It's based off being made free. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what we're basing our title this evening of the message, Free from the law of sin and death, mean the Ten Commandments. And the reason why it's called the law of sin and death is because that one of the things the Ten Commandments does is it gives the knowledge of sin. It's the reason why it's called the law of sin. It's not sinful. It's holy and just and good. But it reveals sin in our life. That's the purpose of it. We've looked at that in the past on the radio broadcast by the law, is the knowledge of sin. That's one of the reasons why it was given, is so that man, from sin that he's broken the law, that he's broken the Ten Commandments, would see then his need for a Savior. So, as the Scripture says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. It wasn't intended to be a way of salvation, but it was intended to be a means of showing your need for salvation. We talk about people being saved from hell, and the reason why people go to hell is because they've broken God's law, because they're sinners, and they need salvation. Well, we take people through the law to show them that they've broke it and to show them that they're sinners. You break God's law in one point. The book of Galatians says that you're guilty. And the book of James says that you're guilty. So we need a Savior. We need to be saved from the condemnation of the law. Or as the title of our message this evening, we need to be free from the law. That's free from the law's curse. free from the law's curse. It doesn't mean after we're born again and after we're saved that we don't seek to obey and mind the Lord. We do. We do so because we love Him. But we need to be free from the law's curse. Now, let's notice our text this evening. I just wanted to explain the title just a little bit. And if you're listening to me, you need to be free from the law of sin and death. You're under it. Whether you realize it or not, you're under a sin curse. You're under a sin debt. It's the greatest debt you owe. It's not your house payment. The greatest debt you owe is a sin debt. And you begin to pay that debt the moment you die. That's the reason why that you need this message tonight, so that you stand before God in a position of no condemnation and stand before Him free from the condemnation and the curse of the law. Well, let's go ahead and get into our text of Scripture this evening. Well, this is indeed a marvelous text. But it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, we are under condemnation, whether you realize it or not. I just explained it to you. We are under condemnation because we are transgressors of God's law. Galatians 3:10 says, cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We're under a sin curse. We're under a sin debt. And my friend, we need to be set free from that. Well, the good news of Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation. The idea of condemnation is a damnatory sentence. We were under a damnatory sentence because of our sin. I was condemned. As a matter of fact, the Gospel of John chapter 3 says that we are condemned already. That's the reason why the moment that someone dies, they immediately go to a place, if they're not saved, that's the reason why they go upon their death. That's the reason why they go to hell immediately, because they're already condemned. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. And who trusting on Him is trusting in Jesus is not condemned. But he that believeth not, it's condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Father. So, man is already condemned. We are already, if you've never trusted Jesus, if you've never had your debt paid, if you've never been redeemed and set free from the curse of the law, then you are condemned already. And that's the reason why upon your death, you immediately begin to carry out your sentence, so to speak. Now, the only difference today is that those that are in hell are there in spirit. And one of these days, there will be a second resurrection. First resurrection will happen the day that Jesus comes. It's a resurrection of the saved. The spirits of those that have departed that were saved are with Jesus. But one of these days, they're going to get a new body. And that's the day of Christ's coming. That's called the first resurrection. But there's also a second resurrection, and that's called the resurrection of the damned. And those that have died, their spirits are in hell, and then they will be released from there and be given a body. And they'll stand before Christ at the great white throne of judgment. But they are condemned already. That's the reason why they can go immediately there upon their death. The only difference is one of these days they will get a body. Well, folks, you don't want to die under condemnation. You want to be free from the curse of the law, and you want to be free from condemnation. So here the great news of this text is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, the reason why there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus is because Jesus paid your condemnation on the cross. Rather than me being condemned, rather than me dying under the condemnation and the curse of the law, Jesus paid my debt for me. Jesus became our substitute. When He went to Calvary's cross, He became our substitute. And the condemnation and the judgment and the penalty that was due me was placed upon Him. So the reason why there's no longer condemnation for me is because Jesus paid all my condemnation on the cross. He was condemned so I never would be, so that I would not come into condemnation. Well, you see, the reason why Jesus was born of woman is so that He would be born under the law. And he kept the law 100%. He never committed one sin. He's the only one that ever did that. Only one that ever could do that. And then he went to the cross of Calvary and he was substituted for our sins. And he was condemned for our sins. And when you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Let me go back to the text in the Gospel of John chapter 3. And I've done showed you those that believe not are condemned already. We talked about that's the reason why the penalty begins to be carried out the moment someone dies that doesn't die in Christ. When you die in your sin, that's the worst thing that could ever happen to you. Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 8, unless you believe that I'm He, then you'll die in your sin. And my friend, you do not want to die in your sin, for to do so would be to die condemned. No condemnation and to have condemnation and to have no hope. You want to die in Christ so that when you die, there's no condemnation for you. You just depart, of course, to be with Him. Okay, so there's no condemnation, and the position of this no condemnation is in Christ Jesus. John chapter 3 says this about our Lord. John 3 and the verse 36. John 3 and the verse 36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So without Jesus, then you're under condemnation. Without Jesus, then His wrath, the wrath of God, abides upon you. And you don't want to die there. As a matter of fact, you don't want to live there either. You need to be set free from all of these things to where you're in this position of being free from the law and having no condemnation. Well, the place of no condemnation is being in Christ Jesus. And my friend, you're either in Christ Jesus or you're outside of Christ Jesus. You need to be identified with Him. You say, Jeff, has your sin debt been paid? Absolutely. And my sin debt was paid by Jesus. Either Jesus was condemned for you or you will be condemned for your own sin. The Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 24, another great statement about condemnation. John chapter 5 and the verse 24. It says this. It says in verse 24, Verily I say unto you, he that hears my word. See, you're hearing the word tonight. You might have tuned into the broadcast this evening by accident, and you're hearing the words that God wants you to hear. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me. The word believe means to trust in him, to trust in God, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent the Son to pay our sin debt. He that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now listen, this is another great, goes right with what we're teaching this evening, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. So shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death, being under a sin debt, unto life. So we have new life in Christ Jesus. We're in a position now of no condemnation if we're in Christ Jesus. So you're either in Him or you are outside of Him. Now, I guess this is where the big debate is with a lot of people, is how you get in. I mean, a lot of people say that you're saved by Jesus, but how do you get in Jesus? How do you get in this position of being free from the law's curse and being free from your sin debt? How do you get in Christ? Well, of course, the place of no condemnation, we'd have to agree that the place of no condemnation is to be in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's the place of no condemnation. How you get in? That's the question. Well, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 says that therefore being justified by faith. That's how we're justified. That's how we are declared righteous. We're declared righteous by faith. in the gospel. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God is through Jesus Christ. You can't have peace with God anywhere else. By whom we have access. See, an access is how you get in. See, when you're going to go into a building or go in anywhere, you got to go through the access. Well, access, it says, into Christ is by faith. By whom we have access, by faith, and to this grace wherein we stand. So how do we get into this position of no condemnation? How do we get in this position of being free from the law? Well, you got to be in Christ. If you're in Christ Jesus, then there's no condemnation for you. If you're in Christ Jesus, then you're free from the curse of the law. And how you get in is by faith. Faith means you put your trust, your confidence, your hope in Jesus. That He died for you on Calvary. And that He rose again the third day. And you're trusting that gospel message as the means of saving you from your sin. Look at Romans chapter 1 says, the power of God unto salvation is the gospel. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. To everyone that trusts it. How do you get in this access? How do you get in this place of no condemnation? You got to be in Christ. And you get in by faith. That's how you get in. Now, folks, one of the most focal points in all of history is when Jesus Christ died on Calvary. That is one of the most focal points in all of history. I mean, almost everyone knows that 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on Calvary. Well, He chose that precise time to save a man. And sometimes this is very offensive to some folks. But there is so much confusion today over how does God save a man? How does Jesus save a man? How do you get in Christ? How do you get your sins forgiven? And there's so many different ways that people present of getting in Christ. Well, my friend, when Jesus died on Calvary, He saved a man. And that man when Jesus was crucified, He was crucified between two thieves. The Old Testament prophesied that He would be numbered with transgressors. And one of the malefactors with Jesus was saved that day. It was clear that both of them were sinners. Both of them mocked Jesus in the beginning. Both of them made fun of the Lord Jesus, mocked Him along with the rest of the crowd. But what happened is a change happened in one of them. That change is called repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. He had a change of mind or a change of heart. And he began to realize that he was lost. And he was about to go out into eternity. And my friend, what could he do? He was a sinner. He was a malefactor. He was a thief. He had nothing to offer the Lord. But he looks over at Jesus and he says, Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, he realized Jesus was a king. He realized Jesus had a kingdom. He realized that there was a life after this one. He also realized he wasn't ready to go there. So he comes to Jesus and he asked to be remembered. And you know what Jesus said? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Verily, verily means it's an absolute statement. There's not a question to it. Truly, truly, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And paradise is just another name for heaven. It's used in the book of 2 Corinthians 12 for the third heaven. It's used in the book of Revelations for the paradise of God where the tree of life is at. So, paradise is just another name for heaven. What saved him? What saved that thief on the cross? Why was he not condemned? Because he was in Christ Jesus. How did he get in? He got in by faith. When Jesus said today, thou shalt be with me in paradise, he did not say that's too simple. He did not say there's more to it than that. He accepted Jesus' words. When you, by faith, trust that Jesus died for you, you realize you're under condemnation. You realize you're accursed. You realize you broke God's law. But when you come to Him in faith, trusting His sacrificial death and resurrection, He saves your soul. This is pictured throughout the Old Testament. You go back to the book of Exodus and you see where the children of Israel were held in bondage in the land of Egypt. And then the Lord brought upon the Egyptians, He brought upon the land of Egypt a destroyer that would destroy every firstborn child throughout, our firstborn son throughout the land. God provided a means of saving the firstborn of Israel. They were to take a lamb. A lamb that was completely without spot and blemish. And they were to shed its blood. And they were to put it over top of their door and down both sides. And that night they were to get behind the door where the blood was applied. And then they were to feast on that lamb that night. And they were to trust. They were to trust that what God said was able to save them. And indeed they did that, or they never put the blood on over top of the door and down both sides. You know what happened? When the destroyer passed through the land that night, the Bible said when he saw the blood, he passed over. Well, that lamb was the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John the Baptist, when he seen Jesus, said this about Jesus: "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." How does he do that? It's by his blood. Faith in his blood. We've seen so far in Romans, in the book of Romans chapter 4, that Abraham was saved by faith. That David was saved by faith. You read the Hebrews chapter 11, the great hero of faith chapter. Abraham, Noah, Abel is all saved by faith in the coming sacrificial death of Christ. And that's the same way that we're saved today. And it's the same way the thief was saved. The place of being in no condemnation is being in Christ. And how you get in Christ is through faith in His sacrificial death and resurrection. How it was in the Old Testament is the same way it is in the New Testament. Salvation is the same way. Same sacrifice of Jesus. Except they look forward to the coming of atonement and we look back. Now, no condemnation. See, we're not waiting to see whether we won't be condemned or not. Now, no condemnation. It says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death we've been spoke on is the Ten Commandments, the moral law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the gospel message. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is the message of life. That's the message the Holy Spirit uses to bring about the new birth in the life of a sinner. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the message of the gospel. The gospel message is a message of life. But you reject the gospel message, you trust another message, you trust a false gospel. And my friend, that's a message of death. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4 defines the gospel as Christ dying for our sins and rising again the third day. By trusting that message is how you are in this position of being free from the law and in this position of no condemnation, which is in Christ Jesus. He goes on and explains it further in verse 3. For what the law could not do, what could the law not do? It can't save you. Galatians 3:21 says, if there had been a law given that could have given you life, salvation would have been by the law. Don't you think if you could have been saved by what you do, that salvation would have been that way? The very fact that Jesus had to die on Calvary is clear evidence that you can't save yourself by what you do. There are so many people that think they're gaining heaven by what they do. You gain heaven by Jesus Christ. The broad road that leads to destruction is filled with religious people that have never trusted Jesus. They talk about Jesus, they sing about Jesus, but they've never trusted Him. Look at Matthew chapter 7, describes the people on that broad way of saying, Lord, we prophesied in Your name. Lord, in Your name we've casted out demons. Lord, in Your name we've done many wonderful works. He says, and then I'll profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You know why they never, you know why he never knew them? They never trusted him. Their hope of heaven was by their, of their deeds. They trusted in themselves. And they never trusted Jesus Christ. Your sole hope of heaven must be Jesus' blood and his righteousness, not yours. So the law can't save you. The Ten Commandments was never intended to be a way of salvation. The requirement would have been 100% obedience. You break it when you've broken the law when you committed one sin. So the law can't save you. Let me read on. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Our flesh isn't subject to the law. The book of Romans 8 says, neither indeed can it be. We were born in sin. We were born sinners. We were born with a sinful nature. We can't save ourselves by keeping the law. We need a Savior. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, the reason why it says that Jesus was sent in the likeness of sinful flesh is because Jesus wore a body of flesh, but He had no sin. In order to pay my sin debt, it required the sacrifice of one that was perfect, and only Jesus fit that bill. The law couldn't save me. What the law could not do, God sent His own Son to do. And by dying for sin on Calvary and rising victorious the third day, He conquered sin, death, and hell for us. So He sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. What does that mean? Well, the law demanded 100% righteousness. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, He gives you His righteousness. I've said this many times. It takes righteousness to go to heaven. You know how much it takes? 100%. The only way you can get 100% righteousness is have it charged to your account. And He charges His righteousness to your account by faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 4 describes the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputes righteousness without works. He charges to your account His righteousness. So the law's righteousness is fulfilled in Jesus. What else does the law demand? It demands death for its breaking. When you receive Jesus, you have that death paid in Christ. You had the debt paid in Christ. So righteousness imputed. The righteousness of the law is made in Jesus, and the curse of the law is made in Jesus. So the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us because of Jesus. Now, last of all, how do we live? There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, am I going to go out here and have my fill in sin? No. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We want to live spiritually. We want to walk as to please our God. We don't want to walk to serve the flesh anymore. Will we be perfect? No. But my friend, when you trust this great salvation plan of Jesus Christ, and you're in this position of no condemnation, it changes your life. And you know, you want to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Well, folks, I pray that tonight this message has been a blessing to you. And I pray that you're in this position of being free from the law. Free from the condemnation of the law through Christ Jesus. May God add His blessings to His word.